scriptures that tell us that we can walk in prosperity and health, and that we can walk in joy and peace and happiness in life, and we can have all of these things, but yet a lot of Christians don't experience those things. A lot of Christians walk around in poverty, and they walk around and they're sick, and they're depressed, and they're lonely, and they have addictions, and they have all of these things going on in their life, and they're not receiving the full promises that God has for them. And I have been one of those people. There's been times in my life where I was beating myself up saying, "Dear God, I know that I have faith. I know that I have faith in the Word of God. I know that I have faith in God, and I know that God's Word is true, and I know that God's Word is real. But God, why isn't this working for me? Am I the only one? Why isn't this working? God, why is it? God, why is it that, man, I've prayed and I stood on the Word of God, and God, why did I have to have open heart surgery? Why didn't you just heal me? God, I've prayed and I've stood on your Word, and I've fasted, and I've spent hours and hours in prayer and hours in the Word of God, and I've read every book that I can read on prosperity, but God, why can't I pay my bills this month? You ever been there? God, why is this happening? And so because of that, because of the way that I was raised and the things that I was taught, it led me to believe that I didn't have enough faith. I've even been told that. Oh, the reason that you're not healed, you don't have enough faith. You don't have enough faith. That's the reason that your kids are serving the devil and not serving God. You don't have enough faith. And so immediately when we hear those things as Christians, all of a sudden we get all of this condemnation on us, thinking, what have I done wrong? I've prayed. I've fasted. I've gone to church every time the doors were open. I live a good, godly life. Why are these things happening? Maybe I need to increase my faith. I can guarantee you that I have read probably every book there is out there on faith. And if you know me, I know me and Joey Gardner, a friend of mine, we've had many, many conversations about faith and how to increase our faith and build our faith. And then I begin to really realize this week that, now, you Word of Faith people, stick with me on this till the end, okay? Don't bail out on me right here in the beginning. But then I realized something that God showed me this week is either you got faith or you don't. Either you got it or you don't. The Bible says, if you will, go with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, several translations say a measure of faith. But if you go back and you check out the original translation, it says the measure of faith, which would indicate that there is one faith. If it's a measure of faith, then that means that you can have different levels. And I know that we can increase our faith in God. We can increase our faith in the Word of God by studying to show ourselves approved. I know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But I think a lot of times we as Christians beat ourselves up and we allow the devil to start putting thoughts in our minds to convince us that we just don't have enough faith. We don't have enough faith. And a lot of times as Christians, we use that as a cop-out not to receive everything that God has in store for us. Because in all actuality, all reality, go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read this. And this is a scripture that all of us here, I know this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith.
And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one should boast. By grace, we've been saved. Well, when we got saved, the Bible says that when we got saved, that God gave us the measure of faith. So if when we got saved, we got faith, well, wouldn't it make sense to us to know that if we got saved by grace, then we receive faith by grace? So if we receive faith by grace, just like we did salvation by grace, it was because of the grace of God, not because of our works, right? So if we are saved not by our works, and when we get saved, we receive faith, the measure of faith, then doesn't it make sense to think that we receive faith not by works, but by God's grace? So that would kind of eliminate the thought pattern of, in order to get more and more faith and become more faithful and to be a stronger, more faith, man of faith, word of faith, man of God, then we have to study more, we have to pray more, we have to fast more, we have to live a godly life more. Well, isn't that works? Some of you are looking at me like the cat that's got his tail in a fan. But doesn't it make sense that if we are saved by grace, that we receive faith by grace? That our faith is ever increasing, not because of the works that we do, but because of God's grace. So then if we experience that and we still have all of these problems going on in our life, you see, what we have to understand as Christians is this. We have to understand that all of the provisions have already been made for us. You think about it, and we talked about this before. That's the reason that God didn't create man on the first day. If he had of, the man would have drowned. Because there was only water. You see, God didn't create man until all of the provisions were already made for man. So that when he came on the scene, he had everything that he needed. So you see, when we get sick or the enemy attacks our body, we don't receive healing the day we get sick. The healing has already been provided for us. Because Jesus went to the cross. He took all of our sins, all of our sickness, all of our disease, all of our poverty, all of our depression, all of our addictions. He took that to the cross and he conquered it. And it's because of his grace, the grace of God, we get to receive the benefits of it. God wants us to have the very best. You see, it's already been done for us because Jesus, when he hung on the cross, the last thing he said is, "It is finished." It's finished. He had already taken care of all the provisions that you and I need because he hung on the cross for us, not just so that we could be saved by grace, but so that we could receive all the provisions by grace as well. Now, that doesn't mean that we can go out here and live like the devil and say, "Okay, God bless me." That's not what it means at all. But too many times we get caught up in thinking that we can move God by our actions, when actually God is already moved. We just have to receive what he has for us. You see, it's important that each and every one of us understand that, you know, whenever we pray, whenever we study the Word of God, whenever we read books, and whenever we fast, and we need to be doing all of those things, but we don't do those things to change God. We don't do those things to convince God that he needs to do something for us, because that would be works. We do those things to change us. The reason that we spend time in prayer, the reason we spend time fasting, and the reason that we read books and read the Word of God and listen to TV and radio and listen to the Word of God and come to church is because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and it builds us up and it causes us to change.
So you see, sometimes what we need to do is we need to quit working so hard to convince God what we want or desire, and we need to listen to God and allow Him to change us. We have to make changes. You know, some of the excuses for not receiving from God is, well, it's just not God's will. It's just not God's will. You know, praise God, I love the Lord, glory to God, but I'm just supposed to be poor and stupid. And it's just God's will that I'm supposed to be sick all the time. That's how He humbles me. Yeah, that's it's just God's will. You know, I've tried to overcome this area of my life, but I can't do it, so it just must be God's will. He's trying to teach me a lesson. Baloney. If you want to know God's will, then pick up His Word. He'll tell you what His will is. And if it ain't in His Word, it's not His will. God's Word gives us complete instructions in our life. God's will. He wouldn't have said in His Word, by the stripes of Jesus you were healed, if He meant for you to be sick. When Jesus was on the earth, He wouldn't have walked around healing people if it's God's will for them to be sick to teach them a lesson. Right? If it's God's will, it's not God's will for us to be poor. Because He said in His Word that He'd bless everything we put our hand to. Now, you don't put your hand to something, it might be God's will for you to be poor. You don't want to work. Bible says a man don't eat. Don't work, don't eat. So you see, it's important that we understand that a lot of times we just use that as an excuse instead of finding out what's really going on and listening to God. The second excuse that we use a lot, whatever will be, will be. Okay, sarah, sarah. Whatever will be, will be. I'm just rolling with the flow. It is what it is. You see, and we just accept the hand that the enemy has dealt us when it's not God's will at all. When we need to get into the Word of God and find out exactly what His will is for us and say, you know what? That's not God's will. And it's not it is what it is. And it's not whatever will be, will be. I'm going to stand on the Word of God and I'm going to claim what belongs to me. And I'm going to know that the promises of God belong to me and they're mine and my family's. And I don't have to accept the fact that my kids are out here living like the devil. And I don't have to be sick all the time. And I don't have to be struggling with this area of my life all the time. And I don't have to live in poverty, bless God, because it's not God's will. And then the last excuse that we hear in the church is you just don't have enough faith. Brother, you're not receiving from God because you just don't have enough faith. Let me tell you something. When I first started questioning that statement was when I stood in an emergency room in Tyler, Texas, about 2 years ago, and I watched my mom die. And I realized it didn't have to do with her faith, because there's not a stronger woman of faith that I ever knew in my life. And I begin to realize that there was something else going on. And there is. There's an enemy out there that came to kill, steal, and destroy. And he will if he gets a chance. And if we give him an opportunity, he will kick our teeth in. He will. The Bible says, and there's a story in Matthew chapter 17, and I'd like for you guys to turn with me there. It's a very common story. Starting in verse 14.
The word says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. Now, I want you to think about that. As I read that years ago and I thought about it, I know that back in the day when Jesus was walking the earth, and that the greatest possession that a man could have in those days was a son. It was one of the greatest possessions, was to have a son. The birthright, the blessing of a son. And so for this man to come and say, for he is a lunatic, says that man was really reaching out. Now, he might have been talking about a son-in-law. That's different. Okay? No, I'm just kidding. I got great son-in-laws. And the Bible goes on to say, and sore vexed, for oftentimes he'd fall into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now I want you to think about that. He's talking to his disciples. You see, we put a lot of stock in how much faith we have. But Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's telling them, look, now these guys, I would say that they were some guys that had some pretty strong faith. They'd seen lots of healings. They'd cast out lots of demons. They got some faith, if you want to measure faith. But he said to them, all you need is faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. And you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So if we've got faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing is impossible. If we've got just a little bit of faith, think about it. When we first got saved, it was that little bit of faith that caused us to say, God, I need you. It was that little bit of faith that said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins and come into my life because I need to make a change. It was because of a little bit of faith that we made that lifelong commitment, life-changing commitment. But listen to this. We'll back up. Verse 20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. So you see, what I would present to you this morning is that most of the time when we're not receiving from God, it's not because our faith isn't up here. It's because our unbelief is up here. You see, we have to get rid of the unbelief instead of having more unbelief than we do faith in our life. Because that's what causes us so many times to be defeated. Well, we all have faith. Every one of us. The Bible says that we do. We all have faith. But can we have faith and unbelief at the same time? Sure you can. Sure you can. I believe everything that is in the Word of God. I believe it. I believe it. But I also know that there's been times in my life that I believe the Word of God and I have faith because faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But I also know that there were times in my life that I had unbelief. Oh God, I can't do that. Oh God, we can't start a church. Oh God, where are we going to get a building? Oh God, how many times have we prayed for our kids and we say, God, I give them to you. I give them to you, God. But if they come home drunk tonight, I'm going to beat them to death. Huh? So isn't that faith and unbelief in the same statement? God, I love my husband. I love my wife. They're the most amazing person in the world. They're fantastic. And God, I thank you that our marriage is divine. And I thank you that it's wonderful. And I thank you, Father God, that there's peace in our home. And Lord, my spouse is the most amazing person in the world. But if she does that one more time. So you see, we can have faith in what the Word of God says, but it's overpowered by our unbelief. I've experienced that. I've had 5 teenagers. Of course I experienced it. I know what it's like to pray over your kids. I know what it's like to stand on the Word of God and to see constant mistakes to the point where you say, Lord, I don't know anymore. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be in business and for it to be going really, really, really good and you're on top of the world. And well, bless God, I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. Everything I put my hand to is blessed of God. And I've got all of this money in the bank and man, things are good. And then the building market crashed. And it wasn't good because I was depending on the building market. I wasn't depending on God. I've learned since then. That was years ago. Because I'm still in the construction industry. And everybody's talking about, oh, it's slow. Well, it ain't slow for me, brother. It ain't slow for Simpson and Gardner. It ain't slow. Because we're not dependent upon the building market. We're dependent upon the Word of God. The Word of God says that my God will supply all of my needs. That He's our provider. Let me tell you something. Years ago, Pam and I struggled financially. I'm telling you, it was rough. And about 18 years ago, God dealt with me and said, you need to start tithing. And I was like, okay, sure, I do tithe. I give every week, God. He said, no, you need to tithe. Not just give $20 and $30 and $40 and $50. You need to tithe on what you're making. Now, this is God talking to me. I don't want you to think, oh, Pastor's talking about money. I'm telling you what God said to me. This is something that happened to me and Pam. And I said, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. Have you ever told God you're going to try it? I'm going to try it, God. And I did. I tried it for a month, and we were broker that month than we'd ever been in our life. And I was like, Lord, you up there? See, it was part of that works thing. See, I was trying to convince God that because I was doing something, He needed to reward me. And it had nothing to do with that. God would reward me because of His grace. And you see, later on that year, I got a raise. And all of a sudden, things started turning around. And then one day I was praying. Actually, it was a time that I was fasting and praying about some decisions that we needed to make. And you know, we need to go into those times of prayer and fasting into saying, God, change me. Change me. God, I'm not trying to convince you by my works to do this for me, but change me. Tell me what to do. So God told me, He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to start tithing on what you want to make next year. Now, this is not biblical. This is not something that's in the Word of God. This is just something that God told me to do. And we did that. And the next year, Not only was I making what I had been tithing on the year before, but God doubled it. My salary actually doubled in a year. And I was like, whoa. And then I got the wrong attitude. So I thought, well, hey, that's a good investment. I'll just double it again. Well, God didn't tell me to do that. So it didn't happen again. You see, it goes back to that works thing. Oh, yeah. Well, if it worked for Pastor Tim, it'll work for me. Not unless God told you to do it. You see, it's not by works. It's by grace. You see, this boy was, what is estimated in biblical history is that this boy was around 10 years old. It's not God's will for him to have seizures and to be oppressed and possessed by a demon. That's not God's will. But he wasn't receiving, he wasn't being set free because of unbelief as people prayed. You know, the Bible tells us that when Jesus went into his own land, that the people weren't receiving from him. You know why? Because of their unbelief. It wasn't because of their faith. They knew who Jesus was. They had faith. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We all know that scripture. We've all heard it and quoted it. And the things, you know, there's two words in that passage of scripture that we really need to see that describe faith. And the first is the character of God. It's the character of God. That faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see, faith is the character of God. And what that is we have to believe who God says He is. We have to believe who God says He is. The second thing that we see is the promises of God. That's what faith is about, the character of God and the promises of God. The promises of God means that we have to believe God's promises are for us. You see, we've all been given a measure of faith, but a lot of us aren't receiving from God because we don't believe or we've been told that we don't have enough faith. You have faith. You have faith. And we can build our faith per se, but it's not by works. It's through God's Word. Because the way that we actually build our faith is by getting rid of the unbelief. And we can't allow faith and unbelief both to be operating in our life. I guess the greatest example of that is Mark chapter 11, verse 23. He says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says." You see, he says, if you shall not doubt, but if you'll believe. If you won't doubt, but if you'll believe. If you get rid of the unbelief, if you get rid of that, then the doubt leaves and you can receive whatever it is that you desire in your heart. You see, in James chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, "For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." In other words, if you're double-minded, you can't receive from God. If you got faith but you got unbelief, that's double-minded. That's double-minded. If you've got that operating in your life, you're not going to receive from God. If you're over here saying, "I believe that I'm healed, praise God, according to the Word of God, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed, thank you, Jesus, I walk in divine health. No weapon formed against me will prosper, no sickness nor disease will come near my dwelling. Praise God, I'm healed." If you're saying that, but if you're over here saying, "I don't feel good. Oh, I don't feel good. I think I'll just stay home today. I don't feel good. Then are you really walking in belief or are you walking in unbelief? So we have to get rid of the unbelief so that we can receive all that God has for us. We have to get rid of being double-minded. I'm closing with this. Romans chapter 4, verse 18 and 19 says, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." Abraham just accepted what God said. He didn't walk around in doubt and unbelief. Even though the circumstances would say, "Brother, it ain't happening. You're not having a baby. Your wife is not having a baby." The circumstances that surrounded the situation would say, "This is not happening. There ain't no way." I know that many of you out there have been in a set of circumstances to where you said, "There ain't no way. There's no way I can get out of this." But you know what? Abraham didn't do that. Even though the circumstances looked like there was no possible way that this could ever happen in a million years, Abraham just believed what God said, and he received it. And he became the father of many nations. At 100 years old, it went against all circumstance. Because God said it, he believed it, and he received it. And then he stood and testified about it. That's what we need to do. You know, it's not about working to change God's mind. It's about finding out what God's promises are, what God's will is, and receiving Him because of His love and grace. And knowing that through the Word of God, we can build ourselves up. Because you know, when you study the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, it will eliminate the unbelief. The unbelief will leave. So I guess you could say that your faith is growing. But the thing that I want us to understand is that we don't receive faith by works. It's a gift. It's a gift. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?